chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. That'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sing that again. There's an army rising up. There's an army, there's an army rising up. There's an army, there's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. How many are glad to be in that army tonight? Amen. Amen. How many of us want to take what the Word said this morning and worship Him with all your heart, all your soul tonight? Amen. Just give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just sing that little song, I know the master of the wind, I know the maker of the rain. How many knows He can calm whatever storm you might have tonight? Amen.
And I know the master of the wind. I know. Shine again. I know the master of the wind.
One more time.
Oh, I know the master of the wind. Yes, I know the maker of the rain. And He can calm the storm, sun to shine again. And I know the master of the wind.
One more time.
Oh yes, I know the master of the wind. Yes, I know the maker of the rain. The sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
He can calm the storms,
and He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Glad to know that master of the wind today, amen. Amen. We do have any prayer requests. Just one testimony here, praise the Lord. From Sister Aubrey, it says, my friend Christiana was sick for a week, so I prayed for her, and I asked if she was healed, and she said yes. Praise God that He healed her, amen. Just give the Lord a round of applause for that, amen. Thank you for your healing touch, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We serve a living God, saints. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, oh God, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for visiting us this morning, Father God, Lord. We know, Lord, you're always present and help, oh God, Lord. We just pray, oh God, Lord, that you just help us tonight, oh God, Lord, just to draw closer, to take the words that were spoken, take them to heart, Father God, and cry out to you with all our hearts, all our souls. We might just worship you. Give a song to you, Father God, all of it, Lord, before we go into that battle, Father, Lord. We want to have an expectation raised so high, oh God. We want to be like they did with Moses, raising his arms as the word came forth, oh Lord. We want to be victorious in battle. Lord, we want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor, oh God. We just pray for our brother Ben as he brings the word of God, Lord. Just pray that you just be with him, oh God. Strengthen him, oh God. Let him to speak the very words that you have for this church today, Father, Lord. We want to be able to just follow you, God, Lord. Just raise our expectation to a place that we come in expectation to hear from you yourself, Father, Lord. We love you, though. We appreciate you, Lord. Have your way in the service. Bless the tithes, the offerings, oh God, that are taken up for your glory, God, that the souls might be won by those offerings, Father, Lord. We just give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it, Father. Amen. Amen. We'll just sing a little song. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Amen. Sometimes a yes is a no. Amen. Whatever God has for us, we want to make sure we are right in the will of God. And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, and I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Well, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will. Oh yeah, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes.
Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song? Thank you.
Karen sing it, but I already had it on my thing here. Just sing that song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, amen. I already had it playing, she showed up, amen. Amen. Start with that chorus, sir. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Sing that again. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is a work to do. And I took the master's hand and I joined that Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Sing with all your heart. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I left my friends and kindred. I'm all that promised man. The grace of God upon me. The Bible in my hand. In a cursed land I tried. Christ sinner comes to God. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm not giving up as their pastor prepares himself to come in, man. I'm not turning around. No matter what the devil puts at you, put a song before you, amen.
Well, I'm not giving up, giving up.
a clap offering. Hallelujah. All the way, Lord.
It'll be alright. is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Great are you, Lord. Greatly, greatly to be praised, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Looks like we're ready for war, church. We're going to sing a song as we have Brother Ben come. I'm sure it's a blessing having him here, and it's a blessing to know that God is in our midst.
Amen.
Don't you love him? It should make us love him more. Should make us just want to pray like we've never prayed before. It should make us want to love like we've never loved before. Oh, Lord, let me be captivated by that Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song as our brother comes. Holy, holy, holy. Behold the Lamb. I'm going to come for church tonight.
Amen.
You come to not just hear the word, but you come to worship your God.
Amen.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Lord, your so holy, holy is the Lamb. Oh, behold the Lamb of God that takes away all my sin.
Hallelujah.
Oh, behold.
Again, oh faithful, faithful, faithful is the Lamb. You are faithful, you are faithful. Glad you're faithful is my Lamb. You are holy, you are holy. God, holy, holy, you are holy, holy Lamb. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sounds like we got some prophesiers in here tonight. I like the sound of this because it looks like we put the message into action tonight. Amen. Are you all ready for another dose of it? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 tonight. Good to be back in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Everybody happy? Say amen. I'd like to say how much I appreciate Brother Cam for allowing us to come back again and spend a little time with you here at the church back home. We send you greetings, of course, from the church back home and from my wife to tell everybody said hello. And God bless you to each one. We certainly wish that she could have been here with us, let her do a little singing and stuff like that, you know. But she's kindly, she's in the last push of this with her education, finishing up her teaching degree, and boy, she's really buried under. And so y'all pray for her, sure enough. It's good to see my buddy and Sister Kay. It's good to see y'all tonight. God bless you. Amen. So glad to see both of you in the house of God tonight. I was looking for your mom when I saw you, but I thought, well, you're just going to solo it tonight, I guess. But it's certainly good to see you. I appreciate you very much. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're going to look again tonight at the approach to war. Now, I want to take for kind of a little side type subject that we're going to go a little bit deeper on this. And I want to use tonight about our talents before the Lord, and using our talents for the kingdom of God's sake. Look here, verse 14. But the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had 5, or the he that had received 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. Look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him. Now here's where we know that this last slothful servant knew what the will of God was for these talents. He knew what God's mind was for these talents. Verse 26 tells us, thou wicked slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. Thou knewest that I gathered where I had not strawed. So this man takes his talent, he hides it in the ground, knowing that he is directly defying the will of his master. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so thank you for your word tonight, Lord Jesus. We count it a privilege, Father, to bow our heads over this sacred book and ask your blessings. Lord, being in the house of God is so wonderful. We so appreciate what we feel in here tonight. Lord, we pray that it will just double portion and triple portion and quadruple portion as we go through the word tonight. That you'll just keep pouring out upon us, Lord, until heaven is emptied in this evening's service. May the Holy Spirit use me tonight, Lord, to get out of the way, Father, and I pray that you'd bless the children that they could receive tonight. And oh, we just look around the building and see Brother Josiah, Sister Karen, these different ones, Lord, Brother Cam and the different saints, Lord. God, it just almost just makes me so sad to think this is the last part of this day already. But God, won't you just let it be a sweetness to us, Lord? We'll have to depart. It's just a little while, but God, put such a fondness and feeling in our heart, knowing that one day, Lord, we'll have eternity like this together, worshiping and praising and marching and singing and shouting. Oh, God, let that be an eternal place for every one of us. And we just so thank you tonight and just so appreciate all the friends and the people that we see here. We appreciate you as well, Lord. We pray that you would bind us together now and give us a sweetness and a love before the communion service. May you scour our hearts tonight, Lord, that we'd be clean. Our hands and our feet and our eyes and so forth would be clean. Spiritually, as we go into the table of God, that we would not eat or drink unworthily. We pray that you would just cleanse us by thy blood. We commit ourselves to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus for the glory of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you real good. All the church said amen one time. That just feels good, don't it? You know, what we looked at this morning, I felt like was absolutely directed by the hand of the Lord. And I feel the same about this, what I'm going to bring to you tonight. And I'm sorry that I won't be able to backtrack too terribly much in what I talked about this morning. I've got a lot of hay on the fork tonight, so I'm going to try to get into it right away. But just to catch a spot so that people understand, just a few of the saints that come in tonight that may not have heard this morning, we realized that Brother Bram said the approach to war was the singers went first before the ark, and it was by music, singing, and worship that the armies of God received courage that they could go into battle. So singing and music is such a powerful, powerful force that God set it before the order of the word. Now, as we said this morning, a lot of people in their minds, they say, well, skip that part and hurry up and get to the word. And so in effect, they're skipping the word to get to the word. Because this is what you see today, what you've done right here this afternoon, has been a demonstration of what God promised that we can have as his people. Now, you've been just as blessed right now as you've ever been in your life. And it will only get greater after these services, because I believe as you apply what I've tried to teach to you here today, and as you taught to you here today, rather, and as you sit here listening to these things tonight, I believe you're just going to go higher and higher and higher and higher. I believe that because you're hungry for what's truth, you're hungry for what's real, and you want the real thing. You don't want a hoax, you don't want a bunch of nonsense, you want the real thing. And as your pastor said today, I believe God's going to bring us into unity as his people through these kind of subjects. I'm not the type of person that if you hear me preach, I'm never going to pat you on the head and say, God bless you, you're elected. If you are elected, I'm going to say, this is what elected looks like. Either you look like that or you don't. As I figure that if we're going to be right with God, we need to know what right looks like. And if we have music and things in our life, we need to know how God appropriated it so that we can use it correctly for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this before we get really too deep into the message. For those that feel that they are not musical, I want to correct you on two things. First of all, you are musical, and yes, it's okay to be not good. It's okay to not be good at being musical. There's nothing wrong with that. God give you the ability to worship. Now, David says, you know, about a 10-stringed instrument. I'll put it like this. Your hands are 10-stringed instruments. So you've got the ability to play an instrument. As I told you this morning in closing, your voice is vocal cords. So you're actually playing an instrument when you sing. So God made you to be a musical person. You are musical even in your makeup. Everything about you rings out a vibration and certain things in your cells that actually ring out a certain rhythm and a melody inside. Have you ever, some of you parents and things, that's been into an ultrasound and you know they put that little thing over the baby. They said that at times there's certain little sounds that come out while the baby is still in the mother's womb that they say, you know, there's a music type thing going on. Well, that's because God created us in a way of worship, and we have the ability to emit this type of worship and music out of our lives. Now, I want you to listen to this in the Angelus Commission. Now, I want to catch this quote before we go back to Matthew 25. Just listen to the way Brother Bram said this. He said, now I realize you ministers, a man that can take a divine gift, he said, and send his soul to hell with it. He said, did you know that? He said, I mean, not something that you imagine, but really if God has given you something and give it to your charge, you've got to use that with the wisdom of God. So Brother Bram said, a man can actually take a divine gift of God and send himself to hell with it. Now, we see that with the life of Elvis Presley and these other men, which is exactly what happened to them. Brother Bram said, right now in hell, Elvis is surrounded by, he said, the millions of blading souls that his music sent to hell. And do you realize that at this very moment, the reason that God has not raised up Elvis and judged him as now, do you realize that his sin is still going on? Do you realize that every time somebody plays his music or his songs or his records, do you realize that at this very moment, his music is still sending people to hell? Do you realize it is still at this moment inspiring folks to go astray from the things of God and to enter into things that aren't right? As we said, it wasn't so much the words and the lyrics and so forth that was so damaging and damning to a person, because listening about a hound dog in blue suede shoes is not going to send you to hell. But it was as that person taking that first smoke, or they call it a drag or something, off the cigarette. I don't know much about that. I think by the grace of God, I've never been a smoker. My dad always was, and he would always say, "I'm going to give me that cigarette. I'm going to get a drag off of it." Well, that's about right. See, they will take this music, and it becomes what they say, a little drag off that music, and they can't stop there. They want more. They want more. They want more. It gets greater. It gets bigger. More deeper. It gets more deadly. More all this other type of stuff. And before long, they get immersed in just absolute degradation against the word. Now, notice if a person then will go back to what Jesus said, then a person can receive a talent, and by using this talent incorrectly, they can absolutely, in the eyes of the master who had this talent, they can change their own imagery and the way that he looks at them. Now, remember, when this man is placed here in this parable, Jesus places them all on the same playing field, so to speak. He looks down on them, and they all have the ability to do good. They all have the ability to have usury and bring usury and bring increase to their talent. So they're all being looked at and viewed in the same way. But now, based upon the several ability, meaning that one person would have a certain type of talent, and this good master would say, "Okay, now you can handle five, you can handle three, you can handle one." Now, unless you're a jealous type person, and a lot of people are, when you know one person would get one talent and this guy that's got three, well, they just can't stand that guy's got three. So no doubt he was one of these pouting message type people that didn't get called on to sing 57 times in a year, and he just got mad and quit church altogether and hid his talent in the sand and all that, and didn't want to have any more to do. Now Jesus looks upon this parable and says, when the master comes back looking for usury out of this gift, out of this talent, he finds nothing at all, and he calls him a wicked and slothful servant. He did not speak that when he first gave him the gift. So it proves that once he received this talent, then he can ultimately change the destiny of how he used that talent for himself and for the benefit of that talent, of what it might have meant to other people. He can change that destiny by contradicting the will of the master. Now remember, this man looking down upon this talent, he said, "Thou knewest." He knew what God required out of this talent. He knew that he was supposed to exchange it and take it to the exchangers and make it bigger, make it greater. He knew that he was supposed to study his craft and play his piano and sing his songs and increase and be better and bring a deeper benefit to the kingdom of God. Like Brother Bram said, a song leader will actually study his songs just as much and just as deep as a preacher does for his sermon. But how many song leaders you reckon do that in the message of the hour? You don't have to answer. I know you don't want to embarrass yourself, but I'll go and tell you, not very many. Because this is what we get in the message. Everybody turn to page 2 in the Only Believe songbook. Let's see if the Lord will bless us on this little song here. Now, does that sound like a man that is increasing his talents for the benefit of the kingdom of God? Lord, y'all as quiet as the Presbyterians. You need Brother Cam to start you another Jericho march? Come on now, this is the word. We should be able to say amen to this. Now, this is the reason why when people come to the word part and come to the blessing of the revelation of the word, that they cannot receive properly, because they have cut themselves off from God's provided way to get that revelation in. As I told you, you come into church, you got little spirits and things on you. The music and singing cast them spirits off. And again, scientifically speaking, it passes through the right part of the brain, and it drops into the left side, where the bypasses reasoning altogether, and it drops into the part of your mind that is actually directly connected with the subconscious. So you're not reasoning and you're not thinking, and when you're singing these songs about, you know, God making a way out and all that, you're not trying to figure it out, thank God. You're not trying to put 2 + 2 to make it 4. You're just saying, thank God, hallelujah, there's a way out. And the blessing falls upon that part. Now that's great for intellectual people, because sometimes, as I said, you need to give your brain a break. Sometimes your brain needs to rest so that you can find the will of God through Him just dropping things into your subconscious. Now, as a person has been given talents, it is important to remember that everything that they do for the kingdom of God, there will be a usury that will be returned to that. I don't care if it's in the darkest corner of Africa or some jungle somewhere or another, and you're just helping one person. Somewhere, God will bring dividends, spiritual dividends, back from what you've done in that one thing. But here's where a lot of people are in the message. They take a talent, they get a certain talent, and once they exhibit that talent, and it blesses three or four people, they want everybody in the message to recognize their talent. But that is not the purpose of these talents. The purpose of these gifts is to bring a spiritual increase to the body of Christ. Some will do five, some will do three, some will do one. Get over it. You have no choice but just to get over it, because you cannot make yourself anything different. Come on now. If God give you the ability to sing a certain way, you are not going to be Isaiah Brooks. You might as well get over it. You are not going to sing like Brother Cam Smith. You are not going to play the piano like Sister Hannah. You are not going to play the bass like Brother Freddie. You're going to play it like you play it, if you play it at all. You're going to do it in the way that God gave you the several ability to do the job. Amen. Oh my. Now listen to this. Is this me, or is this getting weak again, or is it me? It might be. Would you bring it up just a little bit, the monitor part, please? All right, look here. You said God can't trust His gifts with everybody. He says, do you believe that? When God gives you a gift, you have to watch what you're doing with it. Did you know that a man could take a gift of God and send his soul to hell with it? He said, do you believe that? Certainly. Now notice, Brother Bam did not say that God would not give gifts to people He couldn't trust, but He said He couldn't trust everybody with the gift that's been given. Elvis Presley is a perfect example of that, as we keep using this over and over. He was a man that God gave the gift to. Look at this again in Corinthians Book of Correction. Brother Bam said, Jimmy Osborne, a certain man, a country singer many years ago, committed suicide that lived over there by Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said that he'd done the only honorable thing that he could do. Because he said he was out here doing all this country square dancing, all this kind of stuff, singing old ungodly songs, and said Sunday morning he was preaching back in the pulpit. Brother Branham said he'd done the only honorable thing he could do when he blew his brains out. Say what he said, so I'm going to say what he said. Amen. He said he had a lot of respect for him for doing it. Well, glory, you go to saying what Brother Branham said, and everybody goes, I didn't know Brother Branham said that. That's right. And notice he said, Jimmy Osborne has not got no business with the Word of God, and neither any man that takes the name of God in vain and shindigs and dances with old rock and roll and vulgar stuff like that come to any pulpit to try to take the Word of God. Now watch, that's what's the matter with many of the churches today. You get some of these little old boogie-woogies out here in the places, a little old girl standing out shindigging and doing all these here rock and roll one night, and she comes to the altar, and the next night, you've got her up singing a special. Some of you guys take them little guitar players out of the places out yonder, the nightclub. Put him in the pulpit preaching in 2 weeks. Brother, I'll tell you, they'll never do it here, he says. No, indeed, he's got to study, watch now, study to prove himself a man of God and find out. We don't believe in this here overnight jumping around like this. That's what's got the church. Listen to this now. That's what's got the church in the condition that it is in today. Not backslidden preachers necessarily, but not keeping this part of the service clean. Not keeping it sanctified. Not putting the right people in the musical program has put the church in the conditions. Do you understand that this right here should be safeguarded just like this right here should be safeguarded? This right here should be protected just like the Word is watched over. Just like you brothers would watch over this communion and protect this communion, that nobody would come that's unworthy to take this communion. It should be done the very same way. There should not be one person ever do anything that's not ready to do it and prove that they got a gift to be able to benefit the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you what's happened around the ranks of this message while we're in some of the conditions we are. You take any old person that's got a gift to play or sing, and just because they've got ability, they go right straight to the pulpit. I'd rather have a guy that didn't know three chords on a piano and had the Holy Ghost and was proved out to be right with God. And have that one guy with three chords and have somebody that knew every part of the scales and the tonic and the diatonic and all them other things like that and know every bit of it and be able to play ever so beautiful and be an absolute devil, be an absolute hypocrite. I'd rather have the guy that knew the three chords. Because at least God could bless us if we had that guy. Or girl, Sister Hannah, whichever way you want to look at it, okay? Now, watch you. I love how he says this. We don't believe in this overnight jumping. He said, we need truth. The word is truth. He said, the hand that sways this judgment rod must be a clean hand. I love this statement. The judgment hand of Moses was cleansed. I love this remark. So when God told him, stick your hand in your breast, pull it out, it was leprous. And he put it back in, he pulled out, it was white as snow. What was God doing? God was cleansing the hand of Moses to hold the judgment rod. Oh, glory to God. That's what God does for you and I. Not only does he absolutely save our soul by meeting the pillar of fire on the backside of the desert, but after we have met him, he cleanses the hand that holds the judgment rod. Because you take a guy that plays country music out in the bar room tonight, let him get saved this evening, put him in the church tomorrow, what kind of style you think he'll play? What kind of music you think he'll play? He'll play what he's been familiar with. He'll play what he's been used to. Praise the Lord, somebody. So he needs to sit down, or she needs to sit down, until they can learn the right kind of music. They need to get their hands cleansed. Their hands must be cleansed to be able to hold God's judgment rod. Oh, praise the Lord. Ruben said, people today want shortcuts. You must be born again. They think they get just a minute. Glory to God. He said, and what do they do? Tonight, he said, they'll come and get saved. And he said, like some of these fellas that got certain people, he said, I could call names. He said, but they're in the nightclub tonight with a guitar beating it. And tomorrow morning, they're standing in church beating the same old guitar. Brother Bam says, filth. Amen. Now, he's not talking about preachers. Slimy, compromising men that aren't staying with the word. He is talking about musicians. Singers. Why? This is an important aspect of the body of Christ. This is just as important as the preacher's role in church. Some time ago, a certain young lady, I've known her all of my life. I pray that God has done great things for her. I was emceeing a certain sing down in Tennessee. And this young girl, they had a whole group of people coming up and different musicians and folks coming through there. And, you know, of course, there's so many people coming through, I didn't notice everything. And as I was standing there, this young woman, she come in behind me like this, and I was introducing the little group of people that they had there, and they had several of them standing, and different ones is going to sing. And as I turned around to shake hands with the little group there, I turned around, this sister was standing looking at me in the face, and she had blue eye makeup all over her eyes. You don't know how that made me feel. I thought, now this is a message church. This is a message move. And I turned around, looked her in the face, and saw makeup on her eyes. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You get caught in positions that you don't mean to get caught in sometimes. And you get caught in circumstances that you absolutely can't do nothing about. But I'm going to tell you something. That right there is one reason why many of our message moves around the world are getting in the condition they're getting into. It's because we want to point our fingers at the preacher and say, you got to be holy. You got to be right. You got to study. You got to pray. You got to dig into the word. You got to meet the pillar of fire. According to these quotes, so do you. Amen. According to these quotes right here, every single one of us must have a cleansed hand before we even sing a special song. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, it's kind of the pastor's job to talk about all this. I beg your pardon. The Bible said an evangelist is supposed to reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm doing my job, okay? Brother Cam can straighten out anything he feels he needs to straighten out, but for the moment, I'm going to use my shotgun, so just get ready. Watch us here again. He said, some of these guys out here tonight in the roadhouse dancing and playing music, everything. Next night, they come to the altar and weep. Next night, they're playing music on the platform. Oh, goodness gracious. How far can filth go anyhow, he says. I'm not talking about a man that's not been saved. These people have been genuinely saved. But their gift hasn't been cleansed yet. They haven't had any ability to sit down and hear what is right, what is wrong in the way that they would do a style or the way they would play a certain riff on a guitar, the way that they would beat a drum or something of that nature. Now, they've been saved, truly. But let me ask you a question. If you had a little church like this right here and you had some sister come in, she had bobbed hair, paint all over her face, was an absolute Jezebel. I mean an absolute Jezebel. And you see her come down and God wonderfully, beautifully fills her with the Holy Ghost and you know all them days are gone. Next time she come to church, she still had earrings in her ear. You say, but you're saved. Yes, I'm saved. Oh, glory to God, I'm saved. But what's the problem? She didn't know earrings was wrong. There had been no time allotted that the Holy Ghost could reprove her as of yet that what she was doing was wrong. Right? So you needed a space of grace. You understand what I'm saying? A grace of transition to allow the person to realize. Now, remember, there's a lot of things that you and I have done, even today doing, that we do that we don't realize is wrong. And there may be a space of time, and the Holy Ghost come on and say, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't do it like that. Oh, Lord, I didn't realize that was wrong. Well, you say if she had the Holy Ghost, God would convict her right away. No, sir. No, sir. Because we don't know everybody's walk of life. And unless you've walked in their moccasins, you don't realize what they're aware of and what they are not aware of. And the Lord may be dealing with them, but they may not have the reasoning power yet to understand what God's even dealing with them about. Praise the Lord. So this is why Brother Bam said you get somebody that comes out of the world, that gets saved. Don't just stick them right in this office. Why? The gift must be sanctified. It must be positioned and cleansed by the Holy Ghost in order to do the right kind of service. Mm-mm. Well, I'm preaching. I don't know if you're amening, but I'm preaching anyhow. Watch this. He said, first prove himself to be a man of God. Not all this old stuff just because he can beat an old guitar or something. Not just because he can beat an old guitar or something. By your desire, you can tell who on the throne of your heart. You say, well, I think them things are all right, Brother Branham. He said, remember now in your heart, you know what's there. By what is feeding your soul. Your soul is thirsting. You see what it satisfies. He said, if it isn't for the Word, then something is wrong because the Holy Spirit lives on the Word. Now, let's turn to Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. If you have a little trouble getting there, they're going to put it here. Hosea. Listen to the way that he identifies this. Now, watch. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Now, watch Ephraim's great sin. Ephraim is a cake not turned. You know what that means? On one side it's been cooked. On the other side it's still raw. It's half done. We call that lukewarm in Laodicea. Now you understand that a child of God, when they come to the Lord, this is kind of how they come. In one way of looking at it, in one way, now not in the condition of the soul, because when you're born again, you're born again. But in one way of looking at it, there are parts of you that are complete, but there are parts of you that haven't been turned yet. That's why you got to come to church after you get saved. That's why you got to keep reading the Bible. Amen. That's why you got to have a pastor. Amen. Hello. That's why you got to keep moving forward. Because if you don't have this, you are still a cake unturned. Amen. Glory to God. That's why I like to make the fire good and hot when you come to church, because we got some baking to do. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That was a good one. Oh my, this is why. Now going back down to what Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open before and some go on to the judgment. Some follow after. This is why sins, like I said about Elvis Presley. Can you imagine Marilyn Monroe to this very day, every time a man looks at her picture and commits adultery and lusts after her, she is still accumulating sin that's going to meet her at the day of judgment. This is why some sins do not come open now. That's why some of them wait to the judgment time, because they're not done yet. They're not done yet. So the influence of Elvis's gift is still being affected today. As a musician myself, I listen to many of the testimonials, and you realize how many young men that are coming along in music today that they'll say that their primary influences were Elvis Presley, and they'll name off about three or four others. So they're even testifying all these years later. He was dead in 77. Well, we're all the way here in 2016. And they're still testifying of the influence of that talent. Oh, can you imagine? To be responsible for billions and billions of people that you sent to hell by your music. When America's going through their turndown in 1956, When Brother Bam puts it in the church age book, it says 1957. A lot of times that confuses people. It doesn't me. Because Brother Bam said in 1956, he said this was going to be the year they was going to make their choice. By the time they got to 1957, the choice had been made. And who was partly responsible? Elvis Presley. Because the accumulation of his talent and being placed together as a church member, religious. As the sister said this afternoon, on some of the videos they put out, Elvis would go sing his little deal, women would throw their underneath clothes up on the platform, and then he would stand out with his quartet behind stage and sing, tears running out of his eyes. What a godly man Elvis was. Brother Bam said, as I quoted you this morning, if you believe me to be God's prophet, he said, you remember that boy is an incarnate devil. Praise the Lord. But do you think the church would accept him that way? Oh, no. Oh, no. You look at the Beatles when they first come out. All of them wearing suits. Their hair was a little long, of course, but all of them appropriate looking. Do you think that that looks deceiving? No. No, but the prophet said it's like a snake that enchants somebody. It catches their eyes. It begins to catch the movements of that animal. And before long, whether it realizes it or not, it reaches out and bites it and kills it, and it doesn't even realize it's been hit. And that's what this stuff does. It's a musical type of enchantment that gets a hold of the mind. I was trying to hold some of these names because of these young people sitting here, but I'm going to have to call some of this. But you take the great guitarist, Jimi Hendrix. As he said this morning, he said that something takes me over. And he said, I start playing and I don't even realize what I'm playing. And some of the voodoo chiefs that were standing on the sidelines said he is playing the same rhythms that we use when we call on demon spirits. Nah, think of it. Listen to this, an unfailing realities of God. Remember, he said Samson was willing to give his strength to God, but he gave his heart to Delilah. A cake unturned. Now, did God eventually use Samson all the way? Yes. Did Samson eventually give God his heart and his strength? Yes. At the end, when he cried, Lord, once more, he finally turned over. Oh, glory. Woo, thank you, Jesus. He finally turned over. That's why you've got to prove out whether they're right. Prove out whether they're holy. Don't just set them in a pulpit tomorrow, but wait, find out, are they genuinely going to be turned or not? How many people have you seen come into message church and start, glory to God, this truth is the greatest truth I've ever seen in my life, till you stop buying them hamburgers out of church and they get mad and leave? Come on. Many people follow this message for the blessings that they think they're going to get out of it. I remember many years ago when I was a boy preacher, I took this young man over to my home church. He was from the Solid Rock Church down there towards Cincinnati. And I'd met him in one of their shopping stores in between services, was testifying about Brother Branham. I said, we got a special preacher tonight. You ought to come hear him. He said, man, I want to hear more of this. He sat there and boy, the guy preached his heart out and he amen and praised the Lord and hallelujah. We got back and he said, my ride and everybody's over at Solid Rock. He said, can you take me back there? I said, sure, I'll take you to the edge over there and you can walk back on into the parking lot. I wasn't about to go on the property back then. I was a little bit more careful, I guess you would say. And I got back into those places there and I stopped and I said, now buddy, this is where I'm going to let you off. You just walk right up there, just a little spot right there and you go on home. He said, God bless you. He said, thank you for this afternoon. He said, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the service. Everything was wonderful. He said, now I've got one question I need to ask you. I said, okay. He said, if I preach this, what'd you call it? I said, the message. Yes. If I preach the message, he said, will I have a big church? I said, probably not. Will I make a lot of money? I said, probably not. He said, oh, thank you. I'm not really all that interested after all. Do you understand? This is the mindset of people. They may not tell you that, but they've got all these little things. They want blessings. They want blessing. When they come to church, they follow this message, they want to be blessed. But if they come to God and they get saved, and then you point your finger in your face and say, you're going to prove yourself. Now you're going to find out whether you got the real deal or not. Because friends, a lot of times we accept any old thing, and we should to an extent. If people walk in here drunk or whatever else, as long as they behave themselves, we should give them a chance to hear the gospel. Right? As long as they behave themselves. But man says, as long as they're orderly, I see these deacons shaking their head. As long as they behave themselves, then they're welcome to sit there. But let's understand something. We come to a spot in this message where they start shaking their head. Yes, I believe God sent a prophet. They read a couple books. They read the seal book and they can say amen a few times and say, glory to God, that's a seed. Sure as a world. How much time did you give them to prove it? Oh, you say I gave them a year. Wrong answer. Thanks for playing. Try again. Oh, I gave him 2 years. Not yet. Give him longer than that. You say, where do you get your timeline? Experience is a great teacher. I've seen many of them come to the altar, weep and cry and shout and snot and carry on. Oh my, no, great big tears running. Oh God, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh God, I'll never do it again. And within a year, they're back out doing the same thing that they promised God at the altar they ain't going to do. Come on, somebody. Don't you understand? This is why the churches are full of such filth, because we never test what we got. I know some people are good shysters and they can hide from you, but I guarantee you one thing, this word is a good shyster finder. Right. You apply the word and anything that doesn't like the word will go away. I'm not talking about being mean to them, being critical and calling their name from the platform, all that kind. I'm not talking about being hateful. I'm talking about preach and apply the word, and if they are seed of God, they will stay with that word. Amen, amen somebody. Oh my, listen to this again. And Lamb and the Dove, Lamb said, now, there are many churches like Samson. They will lend their strength to the Lord to build an organization and put $1 million in, do this, that, and the other. But they're never willing to surrender their hearts for divine leadership of the Holy Spirit. So they'll let God build them a big building. Oh yeah. They'll let Him bless them in the millions for missionary programs. But they're a cake unturned. Because when Holy Ghost sends a man in there, if he could ever get in there, to preach to them that they need to give their heart to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, they'll say, I'll have you know my great-grandfather was a UPC. You remember why Paul, this is the reason why Paul said avoid foolish genealogies. Because God ain't got no grandchildren. It don't matter who your grandpa was. You better matter who your real daddy is. Oh, my daddy fished with Brother Branham. My daddy hunted with Brother Branham. So did the devil. What's that got to do with anything? Satan was walking side by side with the prophet. That does not mean that you're a real, genuine child of God. You say, how do you know? Put the word test to it for a while. Some people just sit in church and they learn how to go along with the rhythms of things. They learn how to conform. Because many times these people come from the world, they have no friends. They come to a church, they get friends. They have no family, they come to a church, they get family. And they love that. See, they'll blend in, they'll join in with everybody because they're getting a certain amount of satisfaction in church that they cannot get out there in the world. And they find a safe haven, they find sanctuary for a small period of time. Same thing with girls dating boys, boys dating girls. Be careful. Because if you don't prove that out, there's many of these young women and men sitting out here tonight. You got to prove this thing out to make sure that that person that you're wanting to date or could potentially marry, you better make sure that they love this word first. Because if they don't love this word more than they love you, then they'll never love you right. Praise the Lord, somebody. If a pastor doesn't love God, if an evangelist doesn't love God, if a teacher, pastor, prophet, whoever he is, doesn't love God right, he'll never love the people right. Because he'll let any old thing just slide right on in and it doesn't bother him at all. But when the man's in love with God, he's afraid of offending God with filth. Amen. 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 Oh, my. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen to this end time evangelism. God can only use what you surrender to Him. So He could give you a gift, but that doesn't mean God can use it. Unless you surrender yourself to what God's given you. Oh my, and surrender yourself to the Holy Ghost. Now, I think this is appropriate tonight the way the Lord positioned this, because I really don't have any intention in any way of bringing anything on communion, but in this particular spot of my notes, I've got the communion scripture here. Now, I'm not going to read it because we're going to do that again at the communion time, just to save me respectful of that part. But remember what Paul said here about this communion, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30, that he that eats and drinks unworthily, right? Now, let's look and see what Paul identified as unworthiness. Now, first you pick it up in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. You'll find that he said, God set in the church apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongue. Now, in 14, 26, then Paul has identified, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, interpretation, and he said, let all things be done unto the edifying. So Paul was identifying the unworthiness, as he said, eat and drink unworthiness, as a mixture of a few elements. All right, hold on now. One, the first element is they were holding a position, but failing to stay in that place. That was considered unworthiness. As you watch what Paul says, he's rebuking them, for one has a psalm, one has a tongue, each one has a talent, but they're not using it to the edifying. That's unworthiness. So if a person has a gift to sing and play, and today they're sitting here singing like a mockingbird, tomorrow they're singing Elvis, that person's eating and drinking unworthily. The second part, He identified holding a position and yet using the gift or the position improperly. Did you get that? Using the position or the gift improperly. And then the third thing I noticed was that they sought for greater gifts rather than seeking for more of the giver. Now, here's the problem. Many times people that's got a gift, they like the gift part, but they don't want more of the giver. And your gift is never a benefit to anybody unless you get more of the giver. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right. Right. Praise the Lord. Oh, you say, but I've got a talent. Yes, but how are you appropriating that talent? Are you doing it according to the master's will, or are you hiding it in dirt? Dirt. Because there's many people that hide their talent in dirt. Yeah, glory to God. Well, Brother Ben, I'd just be too afraid to sing. I'd be afraid everybody'd be looking at me. Well, last I checked, if you come up front, everybody will be looking at you. I'm afraid somebody would see me if I walked up front there and tried to sing a special glory to God. Well, everybody would hear me sing. For those that don't get it, I'll call you at 2:30 in the morning. Huh? Don't you see what kind of ridiculousness we put in our minds? All because why? Because we let fear dominate our life. Now listen to me. If you've got a talent or a gift that you could be using for the Lord and you're not doing so, do you realize that when you place your fear or you place your concern above that talent, you're saying to God, my fear and my feelings are more important than your will. I value my fear more than I value your usury. I value, glory to God, I value my feelings more than I value what you give me. Ah, you can see why people aren't blessed like they need to be blessed. Now that's called eating unworthily. Hello? Lord, y'all don't know whether to shout or amen or pout or cry for mercy or what, don't you? Some of you, I think, is on the verge of crying uncle right now, I believe. Now, come on now. This is exactly what the Bible said. Now, we want truth, or don't we? Yeah. Now, if we hide our talent and say, oh, but I'd just be so nervous. Bless your little old heart. I guarantee you're going to be nervous. But what do you value more, your nerves or the Spirit of God being able to use you to bless people? I'd be so scared. Do you value your fear over the will of God? What do you value more? I may have to do all the preaching and the amen in here in a little while. Amen, Brother Ben. Preach it, boy. Come on, bring it. Whew, I feel better now. Thank you, whoever you were. Watch, Paul said, how is it, brethren, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Notice, all of them were confusing their talents together and nobody was staying in their right position. Just a few chapters before this, Paul speaks of coming to the communion table unworthily. In our mind, we only think about the man that was living with his father's wife. Thus, that's unworthiness. But this right here is even more unworthy than what we realize. Because when the bride gets out of her position, she shakes everything up. Come on, somebody. She turns everything upside down. Because remember, the prophet of God said, if you got somebody up here trying to be healed, and he said there's unconfessed sins in that church, he said your unconfessed sins would knock somebody out of getting healed up here. Don't you tell me that's not considered unworthiness in the eyes of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're a sinner, but that means you need to straighten up and clean up the hand that is holding the judgment rod. Oh. Amen. Oh, praise the Lamb of God forevermore. I'm feeling religious. I'm about ready to start preaching here any minute. Now, look at some of these scriptures about some of these things about singing. Look here, I'm just going to go fast. Now, if you can keep up, you can keep up. Not, that's okay. Psalm 96, 1 and 2, to be on the recording anyways, you can catch it later. He said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that when you pick it up in Revelation chapter 5 that we read today, they're worshiping and they're singing. Now, here again, sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter 42, 10, 10 through 13. He said, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise. From the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities therefore lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Now I want you to notice this. Notice how praise and music go together. Don't let anybody ever tell you that music was designed for anything else except for worship. If it is, I want you to bring me the quote and the scripture that proves it. Everywhere you look in the Bible, music and worship are directly connected together. So that means if people are listening to the wrong kind of music, they are also worshiping the wrong way. Praise the Lord, somebody. Worship by God's grace, worship by God's mercy should be an understanding, a revelation that fits together with the type of music that we sing. As I said, do you think a guy that plays in the barroom, you think he's going to fit in that heavenly choir over yonder? When you've got them singing out, thou art worthy to take the book and loose the seals. That heavenly choir over there is not going to have one barbed-haired woman in it. Huh? It ain't going to have no adultery in it. No cigarette smoker. No drunkard. No man believing in three gods. They're singing about one over there, not three. The revelation is going to be a perfect reflection on this side of what's going to be on that side. Everything they're singing about will reflect perfectly what's on the other side. Music and worship always go together. Always go together. You say, well, I listen at love songs. That doesn't affect me. And that's actually the greatest deception of it all. Yeah. Remember, the prophet of God said, filial love produces jealousy. Yeah. So when people are feeding that kind of stuff into their spirit, look at what they're feeding into them. Right. Hey, Brother Bram said, a jealousy accompanies filial love. He said, a man insults your wife, you blow his brains out. So you listen at love songs. Oh, I listen at love songs. I don't listen to anything bad. I listen at love songs. So you're feeding your soul with potential jealousy. You're feeding your soul a potential murder. I can't help you don't like it or not. I got to say it this way it is. Psalm 148, 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. I read this morning. I want to read it again. He said, praise him in the heights. Praise him angels. And what do you think the angels are singing? God in three persons. You think them angels don't know he's one? You think they're over there singing about the Apostles' Creed? No. Blessed the Holy Roman Catholic Church and all that nonsense? No. They're going to sing songs that what? Identify the word of the hour. Yeah. All right, message people, buckle up real tight because here we go. A lot of these people writing songs about Brother Branham, I wonder where their revelation's at. when their whole song is focused about William Branham. You imagine that's the song they're singing over there? Glory to God, God sent John Wesley, and John Wesley was the messenger, and he was the greatest man ever lived. Go back and read what they're singing. They're singing, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, and praise His name. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, heaven. Praise Him, earth. Praise Him, sun. Praise Him, moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. They're not singing about a man worshiping a man. They are singing about the only Lord God Almighty. Now, if you can put Brother Branham in it and focus it on Jesus while you're doing it, amen. Because I sing about the bride. And I sing about Jesus. So as long as I can put the bride in and Jesus be the main part, I can say amen to that. But when you got people in this message writing 95 verses about what the prophet did in Sabino Canyon. Hello? Something is wrong with that revelation. They're not going to be worshiping a prophet. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Now, notice this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Now, unless you lost a finger in a bad accident, you still got 10 fingers. You just don't have one of your strings. Like any guitar player, a string will break eventually. Amen, but it's still a 10-stringed instrument. It's the way God designed you in the beginning. All right, you can take it any way you want to, but that's definitely one way you can take it. Look here in Psalm 22, verse 3. He said, Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now watch. In faith to Abraham, he said, Oh, how God enters poetry, how He enters song, how He enters praise, how He enters worship. So once again, you are creating a room for Jesus to occupy. And He enters into that room. Ooh, I feel religious. Glory. Oh, yes, sir. Hey, He enters into a room that you create for Him to worship and to worship with you. But I said, God goes to church every day and God goes to church in you. And what do you do in church? You sing. You worship. You praise Almighty God. Listen to this now. My, thank you, Lord Jesus. I love, you just don't realize this. We could go on for hours with this one little thought right here. But this, listen to this for just a little bit about some of the ways that some of this other side over here, how that they handled some of their music. Now, let me read this to you before, door to the heart, before I read this other part. So let me see what you look at. What you read, and let me sit on your place a little while, see what you read, what kind of music you listen to. I can tell what you are. And I can tell what your spirit feeds on. Now, listen to this. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, let's read these couple places. And I want to read you some of these rock and roll type people, what they say about this music themselves. Now, once you listen to this. The works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. All right? I want you to pay attention to that word. Revelings. Of such like which I told you, and I've told you in the time past, they which do things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to the definition of this word, revelings. It comes from the Greek word cosmos. We understand what that word is. We heard Brother Bam use it a lot. A revel or carousel, or a nocturnal or riotous procession of half-drunken and frolicsome fellas who after supper parade through the streets. Now watch, this is the meaning, the definition, the origin of this word. Who parade through the streets with torches and music in honor of Bacchus or some other deity. And they will sing and play before the houses of male and female friends. Hence used generally of feast drinking parties that protracted till late night and they indulge in revelry. Now that doesn't sound like a modern day rock and roll party. I don't know what it sounds like. Come Late at night, they go before friends' houses and they play the music, they sing, they indulge in drunkenness and all these other type of things. Now, if you'll notice the history of Bacchus, the earliest cult images of Dionysus, I never get this name right, Dionysus, shows a mature male bearded and robed. Now watch how he changes. He holds a fennel staff tipped with a pine cone known as a thistrus. Later images show him as beardless, sensuous, naked, or a half-naked androgynous youth. Watch. The literature describes him as a man womanish. Anybody ever see a modern-day rock and roller? They got hair like a girl. They wear makeup like a girl. Like one of these ones that just passed into their reward, David Bowie. Wears makeup, wore dresses. You know what that is? The spirit of reveling. It is this demon spirit that they call Bacchus, a man-woman. Come on now. That was portrayed in this imagery of this mannish woman called Bacchus. Now watch this. In the frenzy that Bacchus induces called Bacchia, he is the patron deity of agriculture and theater. He is also known as the liberator, freeing one from one's normal self by madness, ecstasy, or wine. And every song that you hear him sing is about free your mind. Free yourself. Don't be regular. Don't be normal. Be different than everybody else. But glory to God, that's the message I'm trying to preach. Devil, get your own message. That's my message. Come on now. I'm preaching the bride's an oddball, but this is the reverse, the anti of what Satan is trying to do through rock and roll music. Oh my, listen to this. The divine mission of Dionysus was to mingle the music to bring an end to care and worry. Watch this. Scholars have discussed the relationship of this mingling to the cult of souls and his ability to preside over and communicate between the living and the dead. Watch this. Oh my. The whole listen to some of these statements. And the token, Brother Bam said this bunch of teenage nonsense of rock and roll. All these beetles and bugs. He said, do you know that they're represented here in the Bible? He said, in the book of Revelation, it says that. Amen. Did you ever stop to think a lot of these creatures that the book of Revelation said would be upon the earth? They're already here. They're already here. Do you notice that they take on the name of animals? Well, friends, if that doesn't show you the original sin, I don't know what does. Amen. Because in the original, the devil moved upon an animal called the serpent. Yeah. Right. Praise the Lord. He used an animal to defile God's creation. Remember, he was animal, but he was man, but he was so close he could mix either side of it. And today, they're reflecting that same attitude. Yeah. Right. Did you ever notice when it said the serpent beguiled her? You notice it always kept the theme of the serpent all the way through it? Did you notice that Jesus never looked down? John the Baptist, when he was standing there and looked down at the introduction of Jesus and saw them Sadducees stand there, he never said, "Hey, you bunch of giraffes!" What did he call them? Vipers. Serpents. Jesus said, "You're of your father the devil, you bunch of snakes." Why did he say lizards? Why did he say toad frogs? You know why? Because Jesus and those men knew what the original sin was. It was the devil entering down into the lower forms, oh my, and by the lower form bringing deception. That's where your beetles come from. And that is the revelation of the book of Revelation. Watch this. In Christ the Mystery, Brother Branham said that expression, Elvis and Ricky, said if you only knew the numerology of the Bible, he said you'd know what Elvis or Ricky means. Uh-huh. There is nothing to your name though, Brother Branham. He said there isn't. He said that name could only come in the last days for last day people. So even his name was an expression of a revelation that we were going to partake of in the last day of Satan infiltrating a man to turn music into what he turned it into. Look, and God keeps his word. Brother Man said he's an instrument of the hands of the devil. The people have gone boogie-woogie, rock and roll wild. The American people are gone. And they're trying by that same spirit to get the thing into church. I like church music, paid like church music, not rock and roll. But when they get these spirits, there's something behind it. The devil puts himself as a challenger. And it happens that this poor backslidden Pentecostal boy learned his maneuvers by the jerking and watching them in the church. He is the devil's instrument, watch now, of deluding and polluting the minds of teenagers. Why didn't he say old folk? Why didn't he say middle age? Because this is a divine prophet of God. This is a prophet of God anointed by divine inspiration. And this prophet of God knew that Bacchus and his spirit of reveling would be in the last days a teenage image. Hey, it ain't the old folks ruling the world in the music world. They'll call them legends. They'll call them all that. But look, just sit down sometime. Look around. Pay attention. Get your eyes off your iPhone and all those other things. Pay attention. Look around you a little bit. You know what you see? You see the world ruled by teenage influence. Amen. Brother Man said in the oddball, he said, you have to worship something. So they had worship, but they had no worship in their church. So God raised them up a nut like Elvis Presley and Pat Boone. They still hold their testimony. They sing hymns on Sunday and rock and roll on Monday. He said, if I had time, I'd prove that is devil worship. He said, them doing them things I can prove in the heathen lands. They wanted to worship, maintain their testimony, and stay in church. Devil worship. Questions answered again. Brother Bram said, all this rock and roll stuff in the church. He said, can speak in tongues, show signs and wonders, but absolutely an antichrist. Why? Because the church let down on the word, he said. Nobody can sing them religious songs like them and then sing rock and roll in the next verse. By their fruits, you know what's producing out of them. Oh. Amen. Look at the churches they belong to. Assembly of God. Different Pentecostal. What's more? He said, don't let loose of that word. It's a spirit that gets on you. So because we didn't tighten the pulpits up enough, because somebody could play music, and the pastors were desperate to get some help in the music area, they just said, well, I'll make a little exception this way, make a little exception that way. I'll just cut a little corner here. Why? You know the Lord will straighten him out. And before long, one little chord became two chord, became three chord, became four chord. Then the style began to change because it happened subtly. And the style began to get a little bit more upbeat. And because it was so subtle, people thought, well, you know, maybe it's time for us to get away from some of these little doldrum type songs. You know, some of these songs are so, I don't know, they're boring in a way. And some of these newer songs, boy, they're really, you know, they got some beat to them. Boy, I like to hear those things. And the devil hiding in there and people don't even recognize it. Because why? Because some pastor in the message, I'm not dealing with message people, let down the bars and let a guy come from the bar room one night and put him in the pulpit the next. Not proving out, did he have the Holy Ghost? Was he really genuinely born of the Holy Ghost? Oh, you say, but he acted like it. The devil can impersonate anything. You'll not know until you can prove him out by the word. Oh, hallelujah. Ashamed to him. Brother Bram said, back in Africa, safari hunters take these high-powered radios to hear Elvis Presley, Pat Boone, rock and roll twist. The natives trying to see them act along, jerking their heads and acting like that. The natives stood and looked. Said, they're not Americans like Pat Boone, Elvis Presley, Ricky Nelson, them guys are not Judases of that type. But see, it's a spirit. And the spirit is not only in America, listen, it has spread itself out over the world to bring them to the Battle of Armageddon. What does this have to do with the Battle of Armageddon? Everything. Once you leave the Word, this is what you let in. And once you let this in, as we looked at this morning, this type of music gives you courage. Gives you courage to do all kinds of things. And a thinking man's filter, Brother Bam said, Judas got 30 pieces of silver. They got millions of dollars. They sold out their birthright. They're the very worst indebtedment that the nation has got. He's not blaming preachers, Brother Smith. He's blaming musicians. And who let it in? Preachers that would let the word down and not watch that spirit to make sure the man was actually born again of the Holy Ghost. Barroom one night, saved at the altar the next night, in the pulpit the next. And the devil just moved right along because Satan is religious. If you think the devil is a drunk with blowflies hanging his mouth, you got the wrong revelation. Satan is so close He could deceive the elected if it was possible. He knows how to shout with you. He knows how to march with you. He knows how to raise his hands like you. Say amen to the word like you. But you give it some time, you can prove it's the devil. But you got to give it some time to prove it out. I know he blamed the preachers to some degree, but he's blaming the indebtedness of the nation on more than just preachers. He's blaming it on this stuff right here. We have a Presley that goes to our church. It was directly related to Elvis. And he's a Pentecostal fellow. And I always like when I invite him to come sing for us because he's a wonderful singer. Everybody really likes him. We're trying to encourage him and then the truth of God. And he comes to the platform. I remember the first time I met him, I was preaching a message about the voices speaking from hell. And I was doing the drama and everything like that. And I became Elvis Presley, not knowing he was directly related, real close related to Elvis Presley. After the service, he walked up and I said, God bless you. Who are you? He said, my name is Brother Presley. I like to pass out. He said, everything you said about him is exactly right. He said, that's exactly what I believe about him. So I like to say when he comes up, I'd like to say, we'd like to invite Brother Presley to the platform, the saved version. But don't you realize Brother Bam is calling these people Judases? These are not preachers. Elvis never preached a sermon that I know of. But how did he become the worst indebtedness that we've got? Because the pulpit and religion and all this was mixing together with his talent, and he was turning and using religion one side, and on the other side of the cake, he wasn't cooked. And preachers accepted it. Oh, it's okay. Oh, Elvis loves God. You know, he's just blessing people and just trying to help people. Good Lord, help us, Jesus. Listen to this again. God's power to transform. Pat Boone is a Church of Christ, Elvis Presley a Pentecostal. Two demonized characters that's thrown the world into a worse chaos than Judas Iscariot did betraying Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Does it matter about this music thing? Based on that quote, does it matter? You better believe it does. Watch this. Brother Bam said, oh my. He said, Jesus gave the boy a good voice. He said again, he took those God-given talents and used them to inspire the works of the devil. Now, I want you to just listen to this for just a moment into some of the thoughts about the way that they look at it. Now, I'm just going to take this just for a little bit, kind of the history of this. Rock music was born as a new musical rhythm in 1950. In the 50s, it differed from all the other music that existed before and became revolutionary. Its new but erotic movements and provocative guitar arrangements led the charge for this new revolution. 1951, Little Richard was the first one with the idea to modify the rhythm of blues. 1954, Bill Haley with his Comets comes with Rock Around the Clock, began a new cycle to which most young people adhere. A young disc jockey from Cleveland looks for a name for this new rhythm amongst the slang of the ghettos of the black people that chose the expression rock and roll, which in this slang identified the movements, the sexual movements of the body. So you see what kind of king Elvis really was. In 1955, a young singer, Elvis Presley, turns into a symbol of an entire generation rebelled against all the taboos a puritanical America. So he became a symbol for everything that was taboo. Singing about a hound dog? About blue suede shoes? How could he become a symbol of rebellion? The spirit of Bacchus was on him. Reveling. Reveling. And do you realize if that is a spirit that comes out of hell, that spirit that came out of hell was once in heaven. And that spirit is a religious spirit, so it can turn around and influence religious music the very same way. Oh, praise the Lord. It grew, talking about the Beatles and rock and roll and the Rolling Stones and these others, it grew until it converted itself into a true religion, sometimes even fanatical for millions of young people. A musicologist, Gary Allen, said, for many young people, music has taken the place of traditional religious beliefs as a source of the most absolute of their convictions. They can quote the text, the origin of the songs, in the very same way that people quoted the Bible in the past. causing a large-scale phenomena, Rock and Rio gathered 250,000 people. It mobilizes millions of dollars every year, passes freely into all countries and places. What few know, but most experts declare that rock can harm physically, psychologically, and morally. The experts demonstrate that it causes the effects to lead from deafness up to depersonalization, and to the generation of mental pathologies. Now watch now. There is a close connection between rock music and a massive wave of satanic cults which manage a massive penetration, firstly through subliminal ways and then direct and obvious ways. So to put it in a short way, they're basically practicing satanic religion in the way that they operate their message. Now, y'all think I'm crazy, now you're going to know I am. But when I was in Africa, I read the satanic Bible. I know, sorry, but I did. Brother Bram said, study your enemy, and I'd never studied, and I thought I better study him. I don't recommend it because it's a bunch of nonsense, trash, and foolishness. And if you really get the right understanding of Anton LaVey, you understand he was a spoiled little brat that never sat down and talked to a real preacher about his little problems with church people. Amen. He saw what he called hypocrites, but he never did see the real, evidently. Now we look at the study of Satanism. Do you realize that satanic people do not believe necessarily in a devil? But what they believe is they believe in an evil power that is inherent into every person's life. Therefore, that if you are good, you are inherently also bad. So as a Satanist, you should cater to that bad part. Now here's where it gets really, really interesting. The most celebrated holiday for a Satanist is what? Tell me what you think. Huh? No? No. I'm doing it this way for a reason. I won't really shock you. What other, I heard it. What? No. No. You know what the most celebrated day for a Satanist is? Their own birthday. Then comes Halloween. Do you know why? Because they say as a Satanist, the most celebrated day of anyone's life is the day of their birth. Because the idea is, focus on self. Hello, somebody. Do you understand why the devil inherited this rock music as a theme to what he was going to spread the message? What is the message in every song, even your teeny bopper bubblegum popping song? What is the message? Self. Do you understand that they are actually practicing Satanism? They may not stand out there with big horns on their head and cut chickens in half and all that nonsense, but they are just as much a Satanist when they preach that they are the important ones as much as any of these other guys. Can I go a bit further? Praise the Lamb of God. Listen here. Now watch now. He says, hard, this is now, these are doctors and different historians. Hard or heavy rock music, represented by Alice Cooper, better known as Vincent Forner. He is one who investigates in all the aspects of the fundamental characteristic of rock or the beat. That is the sound of the percussion instruments later supplemented by the electric bass. It is inspired by the percussion of voodoo rites and black magic of African groups. Where did Elvis ever learn African rhythm? When did Jimi Hendrix ever practice voodoo? Look at his history. He didn't know about it. Where did they get the idea to do these things? The spirit of Bacchus. Satan, who had all of these little, as we said this morning, experiments going. He would learn a certain rhythm that it would send off certain responses in people. And so he would inspire these men to do the things that they'd done. These rhythms excite closely related to sexuality. You forgive me if I'm being too blunt out there, but I'm trying to just read this just the way it's said here. You forgive me. I'm not trying to be filthy in any way, but just trying to be honest. The acid rock investigates into hallucinant aspects, incurring into all that means drugs. The band, the Beatles, who take their name from the beat. tells in their song, The Yellow Submarine, which is a psychedelic hallucination. The Rolling Stones and The Who with their songs, Sister Morphine, Cousin Cocaine, and Stoned. You say, down with all that death metal music. Down with all of this heavy metal stuff. But when you got Miss Britney Spears and you got all the rest of them singing about themselves, they're just as demonic as these people are. You understand? To be a Christian, friend, the element, the main key element to be a believer is you've got to learn to let go of self and crucify self that you might have Christ live inside of you. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about getting rid of who you are. That Christ may live on the inside of me. But what is the focus of many of these songs? And people say, well, the beat's not all that bad. Well, the rhythm's okay. You know, these country guys play the same rhythms as some of the gospel people do. But what are they singing about? What message are they sending? Do you ever hear any of these guys ever sing a country song about how good Jesus has been to them? Oh, they'll sing religious songs, but I'm talking about their old country trash that they put out there. Do you ever hear them guys ever sing a song? Oh, praise God, my wife left me, my dog died, but Jesus is good anyways. Hello? You hear the former, you do not hear the latter. For them, there is no latter rain. You understand? They sing, what are they singing about? They are singing about the most important person that they know, themselves. People say, but it's not harmful music. It is. If you allow that message to go into your subconscious, do you realize if you listen to that song 5 times, that you've had 5 messages in a day go into your subconscious? In 2 days, you've had 10. 3 days, you've had 15. Huh? Now listen to it for over 20 years. How many tens of thousands of messages have went in and been implanted into your spirit that you are the most important element of this life? Jesus said, if a man follow me, let him deny himself. Yes. Amen. 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 Let him deny himself and let him come follow me. That's the kind of message we need to be singing about. Satanic rock began to be broadcasted in a subliminal way and continues to be more open each time. They use these diabolical sects. They use pentagrams, names of demons, or illustrated in the group KISS, which they say kings and Satan's service. AC/DC, named alternating current or direct current, but also to be read Antichrist and Death to Christ. One of the members, when asked about the true significance, replied that it remains to be the free interpretation of everyone, including Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Led Zeppelin. The Beatles, known for their song, Yellow Submarine, was a result of a hallucination under the influence of marijuana. The cover of the famous album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band, 1967, appears a surprise. In the upper right side is pictured Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, the dirtiest and most perverse character of Great Britain. In John Lennon's song, Lucy, the song, Bring on Lucy, from the album Mind Games, plays the name of Lucifer and refers to the number of the beast 666, which stirred reasons for speculation. Led Zeppelin, the group with the black legend, Led Zeppelin, playing the song Stairway to Heaven backwards, it can be heard, I live with Satan, my sweet Satan, and other little path would make me sad whose power is faith. He'll give those with him 666. The guitarist Jimmy Page, a collector of satanic objects, came to Scotland to buy a haunted house that belonged to Satanist Aleister Crowley. In the song, Show Yourself, Satan, manifest yourself in our voice. Satan, Satan, Satan is Lord, is the Lord of Lords. Then you hear a loud cackle. Subliminal techniques, backmasking, masking by aversion or rewind. Oh my, it plants itself into the mind of teenagers. Oh my Jesus. And he said the reason it does so is because the unmasked, the masked message being unintelligible bypasses the barrier of the left hemisphere. Now, I told you backwards today. I said left. I said right. It's actually the left hemisphere, going from the left brain, which is the most cognitive part of it. He says goes to the right side, which is more emotional, instinctive, and unconscious. It is a form of programming or brainwashing. And the teenagers whose right hemisphere is more active are more exposed to these type of messages because of the patterns of behavior were not yet profoundly fixed. In other words, they hadn't defined who they were. So because their mind was still undeveloped but open for development, as they listened to these songs, it molded their character. Now you say, glory to God, that bunch of satanic worship. I don't listen to that. I listen to Miss Whitney Houston. Do you realize you're not listening at anything different than when you are listening at satanic messages? Because what greater satanic message could be preached than a message where self is the most important of all? Praise the Lord. Shall we go on a little bit? Are you ready for communion? I get a little worried about all this time limit stuff, so notice this again. Notice the effects of the loud music that is given in these rock concerts. The mind can cause serious and unconscious behavioral changes in the youth. The beat and the effect of the high volume causes an isolation of the individual, consequently a lack of communication. This negative psychological effect assigned to rock music, this unsocial behavior creates a fervent fan. But the raised volumes in induced attitude at rock concerts, the range is between 106 and 120 decibels. The 80 decibels is already unpleasant. At 90, it's harmful to the hearing. But prolonged or frequent exposure causes hostility, exhaustion, panic, and hypertension. That's why they play it loud. This is also why. The beat and the effect of the drum and the frequency of the sound of the bass causes an imbalance in the pituitary gland regulating hormonal secretion. So they're actually, by their beats, the length of their beats and the loudness of their beats, they're actually opening up the sexual channel inside of the young people listening to it. Physiologically, their body is responding to the sound and the beat of the music. And if Brother Brown was right and he said singing gives courage, that's why I told you this morning, a young girl that would protect her morals and she goes to listening to ungodly music, even if it is Whitney Houston, before long she's got courage to go run with this guy and that guy and this boy and that boy and vice versa with men and women. Where did they get the courage to do it? This music is unlocking physiological responses out of their very own body. And in a way, it's making them a slave to this music. No wonder many an adulterous affair has taken place with the turn of a dial. Watch this. What they call stroboscopy, which is the light show. The combination of light and sound through stroboscope produces an autorhythmic effect. The alternation of light between 6 and 8 interruptions per second causes a loss of depth perception. So when it is 20 interruptions per second, the luminous rays mix with the alpha waves of the brain. Watch this. Which controls the ability to concentrate. When they grow, the ability of control is lost. The psychological effects and studies had showed that rock music has caused individuals to follow certain pathologies, which are modifications to emotional reactions that go from frustration to uncontrollable violence. The loss of the capacity to concentrate also causes memory and neuromuscular coordination disturbances and the loss of own will. Still think it's a harmless little show that ain't going to hurt nobody? These men are inspired by hell. Amen. To turn your body into a science experiment for the devil. So while you're setting this place and these lights are going boom, 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 the more that they flash, the more that it is subconsciously, at a subconscious level, it is so interrupting your brain patterns until you cannot think. And you're getting agitated and you're getting frustrated and you're getting angry, and the louder the beat goes and the more the drum goes and the harder they sing and the louder that it gets, you're beginning to lose your own will. No wonder so many of our kids come out of these concerts and they have to take drugs. They have to drink. Why? They're trying to quiet that riot inside of their mind. And Satan says, I got them. I've got them. If I can get them listening to that music, I can cause them to create suicide. I can cause them to murder. I can make them alcoholics. I can make them drug addicts. And you know why this stuff has been so petted on around the message? Because nobody studies into these things deep enough to find out what's this all about. Praise the Lord, somebody. Oh, what I love about Jesus is when we're singing a song about Jesus, He don't use no tricks. There ain't no light show going on unless it's a pillar of fire whipping around. Hallelujah. There ain't no science behind it. It's just you and Jesus worshiping in the way that you have been created by God to raise your hands, raise your voice, raise your heart, and open your heart for worship to Almighty God. There is no tricks or light shows. The devil has to trick your body in responding to this kind of music. But naturally, when everybody hears Amazing Grace, there's no trick. They can automatically respond to Amazing Grace. Why? They were created to go with that flow. You hear what I'm saying to you? Come on, somebody. They were created. I was created to go with the flow of real gospel music. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh my. Can I go just a little bit further? I think if I quit now, y'all probably whip me. We're getting right into the sauce of this, aren't we? Listen to this. It says the hypnotic and cataleptic condition, in other words, almost catatonic, it transforms the person into some kind of zombie. Neurosensory overexcitement causes euphoria, auto-suggestion. So while their minds are in this frenzy, any message can be implanted into them because they're wide open. Don't you see where the devil got this idea? Because when you come into church and you start singing and you start worshiping, you are opening yourself up to auto-suggestion. Glory. Ooh, glory! You are opening your heart for Christ to plant that word inside of your heart. You are yielding yourself to where the word can be sown into your spirit. You open to hysteria, hallucination, depressive states that go from neurosis to psychosis, especially when combined with drugs. Through daily listening, suicidal and homicidal tendencies, during the concerts, self-mutilation, self-punishment, and irresistible impulses of destruction, vandalism, and rebellion. But I just listened at Whitney Houston. Well, see, that's a different type of rebellion. Because you'll never form a mosh pit with Whitney. But you will sit there in church. And when the preacher hits an area that deals with you getting rid of yourself, you'll strike against him and not even know you're doing it. Why? Because the message has already been implanted subconscious into you. That you are the important thing. That you are the one that matters. Don't you understand why it's so hard to break through with some people in this message? It's not because they're not hearing what you're saying. It's just that there's been another message implanted. Oh God. Oh God have mercy. There's been another message communicated on an everyday level. They are listening to a message that says you are the only important one. No wonder you get them in church and you can't break through. Because you've got to tell that message about 11 more times each message in order to reverse the effect of what's being said. Every time you say one negative thing, you got to say 11 positive things to reverse the psychological and physiological effect that you said on that one negative thing. So you got somebody that's listened to these old type of songs for 15 years, 10 years. How many hundreds of messages have been implanted inside their subconscious? And they're sitting here in church. You're saying, you're the bride. You're the elect. You're going to go to heaven. You're the one that God chose. You're the one that God thought of. Well, you only put about 12 or 14 messages in one service. You've only got 6,545,000 to go. Do you understand why it is so hard to get some of them to loosen themselves up and receive Christ in this way that I'm preaching right here tonight? Because whether they knew it or not at a subconscious level, this music has planted that message into their heart. Lord Jesus. Oh, Father. Let me go just a few more minutes. He careth for you like a mother sometimes will teach their young girls to be popular. Their whole ambition is to make that girl a ballet dancer or something. As you know, you're giving her strychnine. You're giving her arsenic. Right. Nothing but will break her heart and send her to a devil's grave and a devil's hell. Wow. Nothing good can come out of it. But you think, if my daughter could be such and such, the old people will get down for the barn dance at some kind of hoedown. Brother Ben, it's only ballet. It's only classical music. Well, Brother Ben, it's only art. My wife and I was in New York. I was preaching. And we got done with the series of services there. And on Monday, there was a Picasso exhibit at the Guggenheim. One of the most, you know, the most famous art centers there in New York. My wife had always wanted to go to the Guggenheim. I just always wanted to learn how to say it right. But being the kind of husband I am, she wanted to do it. I'd done it with her. So we went in there and they were showing the art of Picasso. Now mind you, my wife didn't know nothing about Picasso. Just what little bit she knew, she learned right there while I was going around the little turnstile type thing that they got going up there. And the higher we got, now I'm going there thinking, now God is an art. I'm thinking, glory to God, I'm going to get a blessing in this place. When I went from one level to the second level to the third level, by the time I got to the fifth level, now mind you, I'm a little slow. By the time I got to the fifth level, I pulled them little earbuds out of my ears that was talking to us, and I looked at Sam and I said, this man wasn't nothing but an adulterer. Because about half of his art is about the girls that he married and divorced. And the other half was about the mistresses he was sleeping with. It's just art though, Brother Ben. That's all it is art. God is in art. God is in the right kind of art. All right? Now apply that same thinking to music. What are they singing about? When what's-her-name sings, I will always love you. What is she singing about? This is the same woman that here just a few years ago they found drowned in a bathtub, overdosing on some kind of drug. Right. Michael Jackson, when he died, they had Mariah Carey and some other nitwit up there on the platform. I shouldn't pick on them people like that. Some other character up on the platform singing some religious thing. And I wanted to see just a clip of some of that funeral. And they got to the end, and there's Mariah Carey standing there in one of them little old short dresses, and they're singing some religious thing, and she's going, thank you, Jesus. And I thought, you prostitute, you. And him just as bad. I thought, you whoremonger. Don't you see? The spirit of reveling. But it has been so mixed with religion. I've heard people say, well, it's just country music. Well, them people sing gospel songs. The spirit of Bacchus. What's worse? Somebody's singing about the devil? Or somebody singing about you. Let's stand. I didn't say I was done preaching, I just said stand. Be not afraid. It'd be good if the American people would teach our children such things, talking about the gospel, instead of tap dancing. Tap dancing. Lord, we've really went down to the dregs of the dregs tonight, haven't we? Tap dancing? Ballet. Ballet? What's wrong with ballet? Everything. When they're out there doing the swan dance and they're doing all them other, I don't know them moves, but they're doing all them little, you know, crescendos and how they twist and turn is one thing they're doing, for the purpose of spreading the message of Jesus Christ in any way whatsoever. Is any of the music that's being played, is it there to send the message to the lost that there is a Savior that can save you and free you from sin? Not one thing is ever described. As I said to you this morning, let me say it again tonight. I've tried to repeat myself in different times so that some of you folks didn't hear this morning could catch these thoughts. But what would be worse, a song singing about the devil or a song that leaves Jesus out of it altogether? They don't emphasize anything about Christ, anything about the Word. Nothing is said about who He is or His blood or nothing. But it's just tap dancing, Brother Ben. Come on, man, loosen up. Quit being such a holy roller. If we look at the depth of this, we find out how damning this stuff really is to a person's soul. We see the condition that it puts them in. Oh, that's why this stuff is so dangerous. Oh my, listen to this again. Making the valley full of ditches. I tell you, I feel sorry because they let down, and the pollution of our modern church is one thing that I lay it to is the social gospel that people preach. Why in our own city of Jeffersonville, a certain pastor every Sunday night has a square dance in the bottom of the church. That's right, teaches square dancing, a famous denominational church, a square dance. Always remember, children, the safest road to hell is a gradual one. Now that's my remark. The safest road to hell is a gradual one. These other themes, they rub anti-God. But gradually on this other one, well, it's just tap dancing. It's just ballet. Why, these kids, they've got to have a craft. They got to have an art. They got to learn a few things. And what are we doing? We're poking strychnine right down their throat. How are we doing it? Because by doing certain things like this, we are de-emphasizing Christ and we are emphasizing who? Who? Not the devil. Self. And that is where people never pick up their cross and never follow Jesus. Because to pick up their cross and follow, they've got to first deny self. I hope you've enjoyed this weekend. God bless you, friends. I love you with all my heart. We're going to prepare our hearts for communion right now. You love Him with all your heart. You believe what I preached to you this weekend. You understand the dangers of how that people in this message, if they're not careful, they will so water down this message and make it so social and make it such a sociable type thing until our musicians in the message won't have 1 ounce of purity about them anymore. It scares me. People that I play with, people that I sing with, and I know that edge. You know what I'm talking about? That little something about them. You know? You know what I mean, Fred? That little something. One thing I appreciate about our song leader back home, there's an old fella come up here going to play his guitar just a moment. He started picking up one of these real rough little rhythms like, and he goes, "Whoa, easy there, boy. Easy." He didn't rebuke him. He just said, "Ooh, take it easy now." There's a girl want to come to sing. He said, "Sister, I don't know if you're allowed to come sing here." He said, "I don't know if you're right with the Lord just yet, are you?" She said, "No, I'm really not." He said, "Then I can't let you sing." There are some godly people somewhere that'll keep their instruments right, that'll keep their bass guitar right, that'll keep their guitar right, that'll keep their voices right. I believe God helping us do this, I believe that it'll be a revolution for this church right here because you're musicians and you're lovers of music. And what better place to take what you've heard here and apply it to all these talents and gifts that's around this church right here. Hey, I can't think of a better bedding ground to plant these little seeds in. Because if you love the Word and you love music and you love all them things, why not do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God instead of selling out for some kind of popularity or some kind of new chord or new style or some of this kind of stuff? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are people in this message that will listen at every old thing out there in the world trying to search through a garbage can looking for one good song they can bring to a church. And they're not searching through rock and roll. They're searching through so-called Christian lyrics and music. Some of it is so trashy, so ungodly, full of jazz and full of this thing and that thing. Remember, I said, what a disgrace them singing. The saints go marching in ragtime. Y'all didn't know he said that, did you? That's right. You understand what we're doing? If we start twisting the stylings of these musics, If we're not careful, we will cause a psychological and physiological reaction out of the body to not be worshiping God. Makes me wonder how many message churches, because they didn't understand this, are actually guilty of inciting adultery in their churches and didn't even know it. God bless you.